1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Here we are at 60-something, but life still has much more to give, whether it's knitting and sitting in rocking chairs, laughing, letting down your hair, playing music, drinking wine. 60-something life is fine.
Hey there, welcome back to the 60-something podcast. I'm Grace, and today we're diving into a topic that's crucial for everyone, but especially for us in our 60s and beyond. I'm talking about scams, those tricky, deceitful schemes that can catch even the wisest, savviest among us off guard. We'll uncover the common signs of a scam, share the top scams criminals are using today, and equip you with the knowledge to protect yourself and your loved ones. So get settled, grab your cup of coffee. Let's get started on this exploration of the dark side. I guess the best introductory quote for this subject would be, there's a sucker born every minute, because almost all of us are vulnerable to being scammed. According to the AARP April 2024 Bulletin, a publication that features the latest information about fraud every April, criminals are bombarding older Americans with emails, phone calls, texts, and letters trying to steal as much of our money as possible. Consider this: 2.6 million Americans, roughly equal to the population of Chicago, reported losing roughly $10 billion last year. That's billion with a B. To fraud, and that's just the reported cases. There are a surprising number of different types of scams, and I'm going to go through a bunch of them. You may have already heard about a few because some of them have been around for a while, such as phishing scams, phishing emails. That's spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. These are scammers who impersonate legitimate organizations and attempt to steal your personal information to use to open credit accounts or get into your bank accounts. There are romance scams. That's where predators form fake relationships to exploit individuals emotionally and financially. Most of us have encountered tech support fraud, where fake alerts trick victims into paying for unnecessary technical support. Fake charities. Scammers take advantage of people's generosity, especially after disasters or during holiday seasons. You give them their card number, the charge goes to their account, not any charity. The AARP publication I mentioned contains information about the latest types of scams coming our way. Check washing, for example. That's been very popular. That's when thieves steal paper checks from mailboxes, wash the ink off with chemicals, leaving just the signature, and then they fill in a new amount, a different payee, of course. Oh, but that's old news now. Check cooking is the rage today, where the thieves take a digital picture of a stolen check and then use software to alter it. Fight against this one by paying your bills and sending money to loved ones and people or businesses you trust with electronic transfers from your bank. If you don't know how, get somebody to show you. And if you absolutely must mail paper checks, mail them at the post office. Don't even use a neighborhood mailbox. And always monitor your checking account for suspicious transactions. Another scam is pulled off with what's called voice printing. Thieves can capture a recording of your voice and then use a software program to generate an imitation of your voice, a fake version that allows them to impersonate you so they can make calls to your family and friends pretending to be you and request money. Using the same method, they pull off, oh, this is so despicable. They pull off what's called the multi-stage grandparent scam, which is a new version of the classic grandparent scam. That's when an imposter pretends to be a grandchild in trouble who needs instant money for bail, car repair, or some other emergency. But now they use an imposter voice they've created. This actually happened to a friend of mine. It was about 2 years ago. Her son called and said he was in jail and he needed money for bail. In a panic, she tried to reach him, but then wisely called a friend when she couldn't and found out that her son just wasn't home and it was a big fake. Supposedly, the scammers are getting organized with this one. They staff call centers with young people who are paid for every person they can deceive. One effective gimmick that they use is to have the imposter grandchild provide a case number, and then when the grandparent calls the fake authority, they will ask for a case number. That's a psychological trick, which makes the fraud seem more credible. Some of these criminals even have someone pose as a courier and go to the grandparents' home to pick up the money in person. And just today, I'm getting ready to record this podcast, and I see on CNN online about this case. I guess it happened in March, but they filed some new charges against this man. An 81-year-old man pleaded not guilty to multiple counts of murder and other charges Wednesday related to the shooting of an Uber driver he mistakenly believed was working with a scammer who had been attempting to extort him. I guess what happened is a scammer called this man and he pulled the scam I was just talking about. He was presented with this claim that one of this man's relatives was being held in jail. And when the man didn't fall for it, the scammer threatened him and his family. So when an Uber driver arrived that this 81-year-old man had not called, he was very suspicious. She had been told she was supposed to pick up a package, and her dash cam recorded the whole thing. When she asked the man about it, he thought she was a scammer, and he shot her. He shot her dead, 61-year-old lady. According to this, it's the scammer who set this whole thing up with the Uber driver. It was pretty ridiculous. I guess it was just in an attempt to take some measure of retaliation against this older man for not falling for the scam in the first place. And Uber does know the account of the individual who ordered the Uber, but there's no news right now on whether that person has been arrested or located or anything. But if you need confirmation that this is really happening, it's in the paper every day. So if anyone calls you from an unfamiliar number claiming to be a family member in trouble, hang up and call that person's phone number that's listed in your contacts or your address book to see if they actually are in trouble. Basically what my friend did. If they don't answer and you're concerned that it could be real, contact other family members or friends and figure it out together. Two heads are better than one. A good practice is actually to avoid calls with anyone other than family or close friends. If someone outside your inner circle needs to reach you, have them text you. Another big scam is called the celebrity scam. Usually on social media, someone posting as a celebrity, like a big celebrity like Celine Dion or Jennifer Lopez or their managers, will reach out to you and say something like, "Oh, Celine loved your comment. She wants to talk to you. Here's her private account. DM her." And then when you do connect, the conversation gradually turns to how her fortune is tied up somehow and she really needs a loan, which blows my mind that anyone would fall for that. But of course they do. Anybody could. Rule of thumb, if you get a message from someone claiming to be a performer or an athlete or their agent, be extremely skeptical. It's probably a scam. And, you know, the hurried nature of scams has a lot to do with how people fall for them. So just slow down. Make sure whatever the situation you're being presented with is real. The next one is called delayed action sweepstakes. This is when con artists call or write you to say that you've won a fabulous fortune, but there's a new variation. Instead of trying to get you to pay taxes or other fees in advance to collect this non-existent prize money, they will ask you for personal information to quote-unquote validate you so that they can set up your payout. But what they're really up to is writing small test checks on your account to see whether you notice. And if you don't, they'll use your accounts to get lines of credit in your name. If you get a call claiming you've won a sweepstakes, hang up. Never share your personal information. Okay, one of the latest scams is coming up. You know, the Paris Olympic Games are coming up this summer. This is called the Paris Olympic Scam. This is a revival of what's called a fake emergency scam. It's predicted this is going to emerge. The scammer has hacked someone's email account, and shortly afterwards, all of that person's contacts receive a message saying, "I'm in Paris at the Olympics, and my wallet got stolen." Resist the urge to react immediately if you hear from a friend in Paris or anywhere needing cash. Try other ways to contact that person. Call them on the phone with the number that you have for them. Now, scammers are able to fake phone numbers for incoming calls. It's called spoofing. The phone number you have for your son or your daughter, grandchild, or even a government agency, it could be fake. So your phone showing their number is not a guarantee that it's really them. So don't fall for that. Call them back. Spoofing doesn't work on outgoing calls. Just slow your roll and make sure whatever the situation you're being presented with is real, because most of the time, it's not. Another of the latest schemes becoming popular is scammers sending victims to cryptocurrency ATMs. In one case, con artists posed as federal agents and convinced some poor woman that her bank accounts had been compromised. They told her to take her money, which in this case was $11,000, in $100 bills to a cryptocurrency ATM. She fed all of that money into that machine, and it was credited to a QR code account that she was given to use at the ATM. And her money went directly into the scammer's cryptocurrency wallet. Crypto is so popular with scammers because it's difficult to trace. Remember, they use fear and intimidation to manipulate their victims. A pretty common scam happened to my mom. It was quite some time ago, 7 years or so. She calls me one day and she says, "Oh, the IRS just called me. They said I did my taxes wrong and I owe them $7,000. They want me to come to the bank and they're going to meet me there. I'm supposed to withdraw the money. And if I do it today, then I won't have to pay a penalty." "What?" I said, "Mom, the IRS does not call you and they definitely don't meet you at the bank so you can give them cash. That is impossible. It's a scam." She wasn't dumb. Those scammers were scary. And then they were nice, helpful. And as I'm saying this, as I'm telling you these stories, you're probably thinking like I usually do, "Oh, that is so insane. I'd never fall for that." But I believe that anyone can be fooled and manipulated by an extremely talented, charismatic, and perhaps sometimes frightening con artist. Here are some red flags to keep in mind. Scammers will use urgency and pressure the targets to act quickly. So as I've said, take your time. Tell them you have to verify the information or just hang up and then verify. Call the organization's phone number you find on the internet or even in a phone directory if you have one. Do that rather than ever letting them call you back. Don't answer if they call you back. Another red flag, requests for personal information. Legitimate organizations typically don't ask for sensitive information in email or on the phone. Unusual payment methods. Be wary of requests for payment via gift cards, wire transfers, or yes, cryptocurrency. And one more thing we should touch on is the latest AI technology that is enabling a whole new level of scamming. Images, video images of people, celebrities, a boss, your children, can be computer generated. This is the really dark side of AI technology. People can be impeccably faked with this tech as part of an effort to steal your money or your identity. And this is just the beginning of deep fake avatars. We're going to have to watch out for this. But I do believe the technology will be developed to help us combat this really tricky tactic. Perhaps now is a good time to discuss what can we do. First of all, keep on that thinking cap. Be skeptical. If something seems too good to be true, it probably is. Verify before you act on any request for anything. Verify. Contact the person or the organization through a different means than using information that they have provided. Be mindful of security. I hate having to do this too, believe me, but keep up with your passwords. You need to change them frequently. And use that two-factor authentication that is so annoying, making you get a code to sign into your account. It's protecting you. Report scams when you come across them. You can report them to the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission. You can report them to local law enforcement. AARP has a special division called the Fraud Watch Network, and they have a helpline. All of the information, of course, will be in the show notes and on the webpage. Now, folks, this is really important stuff. We're going to have to be on our toes to keep up with this. But if you stay informed, and there are actually newsletters and services to help you do that, some free, some paid, they'll be in the show notes. Take a look at them. Additional ways to be safer: open your phones to contact list, add your family, friends, doctors, other important numbers, and then go to your phone settings and turn on the setting for silence unknown callers. That way, any caller who isn't in your contacts directly goes to your voicemail. Make sure you're signed out of financial apps on your phone, credit cards, financial institutions, and peer-to-peer apps like Venmo and Zelle. And make sure your account settings require security measures such as a PIN, fingerprint, or facial recognition. And that way, if your phone is stolen, they can't get your money. Audit your wallet or your purse. Remove cards and information you don't need to carry. Don't carry around your Social Security card or your Medicare card. Make copies of anything you do need to carry front and back and store in a safe place. Routinely monitor your credit report. You need to watch for unusual activity, and if you see any, report it immediately. Every 3 months, revise the passwords on your financial accounts. Now, your best bet is to use a passphrase like, "I love my 17 dogs!" exclamation point, all one word. That is much stronger than Scruffy 23. Keep track of your passwords in a highly secure password manager or by writing them down and storing them in a safe place. Just continue to be very skeptical. Many criminals use friendliness, compassion, kindness as their persuasion method rather than fear and intimidation, but some of them use that too. Whichever tactic, they are always going to create this sense of urgency to get you to act out of emotion rather than logic. If you feel pressured or manipulated, walk away. Last, check your social media settings to make sure you have your account set to private. That way, only people you choose to trust can view your profile and contact you through social media. Much of this information I've shared with you in this episode, I found in the AARP Bulletin, April 2024 issue that I mentioned. And I highly recommend that you check out their articles on fraud. They are all free, all linked in the show notes and on the webpage. All of the resources that I mentioned in this episode and every episode, you will find in those show notes. I hope this episode has been a good overview for you of these scams that are hovering around us. The most important thing to remember is that the ball is in your court. Don't become paranoid. Just be mindful. Be on the alert. Be aware. Be skeptical. Don't let anyone pressure you or try to confuse you. Scammers frequently target older adults for a reason. Their perception of us is that we possess wealth, maybe lonely, and so more likely to trust if we're paid attention. Perhaps sometimes they think we may be less familiar with the digital world and so more easily led. So they come after us a little bit harder. There are a lot of resources out there to help us. I encourage you to educate yourself, stay on top of what the latest scams are so you can get ahead of them and never be taken in by one. What are your experiences with scams? Do you have a story to share? DM me or better, post in our 60-something Facebook group so everyone can benefit. I so appreciate your sharing. What do they say? Sharing is caring. Thanks for joining us. Remember, the links I mentioned plus more in the show notes on the webpage. I'll see you next time when we'll talk about sleep. Hey, I hope you'll reach out to me. You can DM me on Instagram or follow me on any of my social channels. I've even created a Facebook group just for us, a place where we can connect directly. If you're not into the social media scene, you can visit my webpage or email me. All of my contact information for everything is in the show notes, on my webpage, and in the Facebook group. Connecting with you, that's what it's all about for me. If you enjoy the podcast, please take a moment to like and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. Now, I'll be on the air once a week, posting a new episode each Tuesday. And I want to thank you so much for listening. In closing, I want you to know something important. We live in a time when loneliness has been declared a national epidemic, when people are bitterly angry and disillusioned with each other. But this community is going to be a haven from all of that. I care about you. You are not alone. All right. I'll see you soon. See you next time on 60-something. Oh, and special thanks to my granddaughter, Lizzie Sanford, who wrote and performs the amazing 60-something theme song, accompanied by her sister, Coco, who is also my granddaughter. I love you, my beautiful grandgirls. Take it away.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we are at 60-something, where life still has much more to give, whether it's knitting and sitting in rocking chairs, laughing, letting down your hair, playing music, drinking wine. 60-something life is fine.
We did it! I love it!